something. And the reason I mentioned last week, we kind of opened into a subject. And messages don't ever go the way you think they are. You know, when you sit and study before a message, God is giving you thoughts. And sometimes it doesn't come out the way you thought it was going to come out. I'm talking about the preachers. Now, when preachers get a word, it comes in, and I figured out after this many years that some of that you had was for you. And some of it is for the church, and there are some things I want to say to the church and to use the gift that I've given you to share some things with them, but some of it was to share some things with you. And so this is where I want to go with this, just to help you understand. In case you weren't here, we were talking about last week's message was the outer limits of faith. And we were talking about situations in which there's a lot of things out of your control. That's what that whole outer limits theme was. You be looking at your TV. Some of y'all young folk won't understand this, but you be looking and you look up and it looks all messed up. And you get up and go over there, and then all of a sudden you hear a voice saying, "Do not attempt to adjust your television." You say, "We have control of the horizontal." And you go, "What? We have control of the vertical, and we can turn the volume up, and we can turn down and start telling you how we can manipulate this whole screen. And don't you worry about it. You just sit down, because we're going to take you to the outer limits." And that was their theme. And I thought about that, and I said, "Well, you know what? There's a lot of stuff like that in walking with God.
Yes,
you like to go over and shut this off and turn that on and make this work and stop that and don't do this here. And I don't want to go through that." But God says, "I got this. I'm in control." You might not think I'm in control. It might look reckless. There might be some stuff you don't want at all. To God, why do I have to deal with this? Why? God says, "Don't attempt to adjust your set. Because I'm in charge of the horizontal and the vertical. I'm in charge of everything that's about to happen. And so I'm just letting you go to the outer limits of your faith. Keep that faith I gave you and just keep on pressing."
All right, now.
And realize that when it looks like the horizontal is out of whack or the vertical, I got the controls in my hand. That's what I wanted to say just to get us started today. There's a lot of stuff in this world is out of our control.
Yes.
And we have a lot of trouble sometimes dealing with that. And you sometimes even question the Lord. Think about it. We gave you some examples last week, and I'm just doing this kind of as an introduction to our lesson today. And this is what I want to say. I'm going to put this in kind of some nutshell here, and in some parentheses, whatever you want to say. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our lives that is not good. It can be bad stuff. Stuff we wouldn't want to deal with, just like what we were talking about.
Yep.
Stuff that we would like to sweep on past that and move on to the next thing. Have you ever had a day that was so awful, you said, "Let me get to bed so I can get this one over with so I can get up and try this again."
Yeah.
You know, you have days like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote a song, "Mama said there'll be days like this." "There'll be days like this, Mama said." Right? And so Mama knew, because she'd been down the road and she's been there and done that. So she just let you know there's going to be some days with some ups and some downs. And so this is what we're talking about now. And I want to put the brackets on this by saying that whoever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, good, bad, or ugly, God loves you.
Yes, He does.
And His love has never changed.
Never.
So whatever you're dealing with, one thing you can count on, if everybody else in your life has failed you or anybody has failed you, you can know He has never failed you.
Never.
I'm with you all the way.
Amen.
I got you covered on the left, on the right,
yes.
Underneath, from above.
Yes.
Somebody wrote that song, "He got the whole world in His hands." See, and that's what we're talking about. We have to rely on the comfort that the fact that God will not suffer you to go through things that He can't take you through.
Amen.
See? In other words, you won't go through anything that He's not going to be with you.
Right.
He said, "I'll be with you in trouble."
Oh.
Now, I didn't put that text in today, Psalms 91. He said that if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Almighty.
See, He is my refuge, in Him will I trust. We trust Him.
Yes.
Didn't say I'm going to not have trouble. He said, even though I'm subjected to the snare of the fowler and the noise of pestilence and the darkness that stalks in the evening. He started talking about stuff that comes around that I prefer not to deal with.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But God is there.
My Lord.
The Most High is my refuge.
Yes, He is.
You see? And so whatever you're going through, God says, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
And you know how long He with you? He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world.
Yes.
See, so that's where we have to tighten up a little bit. And what happens, and the reason I put it that way, is that God always loves you. He never wavers, never changes.
Never.
You say, Pastor, when I'm doing something wrong, He loves me. Yes, He does. He might love you more then because I should be putting you out.
Watch
and
out.
Cutting you off, but I'm not. I'm letting you go ahead.
Amen.
See what I mean? So maybe at that point He loves you more.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is, we're going to talk about that in this message today, because the problem is the world, and as I mentioned before the prayer, the flesh, and the devil will put obstacles in your way.
Yes,
and the purpose of it is to distort the love of God.
Right.
So that you don't think God is really in this.
That's right.
To put doubt in your mind about who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And is He really in this?
Mm-hmm.
So he does a lot to distort. That means to twist or to pervert.
Right. Yes.
To make you think there's something wrong. There's something wrong with God and His love toward
mm-hmm.
me. See, that's what He started with in the garden.
Right. Sure did.
He came to Eve. He said, you know that love? Let's go to that tree. God said, don't mess with it. Now, God already told you can have all these trees.
Mm-hmm.
Go and eat as much as you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enemy of your soul said, hey, let's go talk about that one. He said, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But why does He always go there?
Always.
Taking you to the one God said, don't mess with it. Let's talk about that one. Let's see what's up with that. And the reason is, He knows that when you eat it, you're going to be like Him. That was a lie, He said.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was a lie is because she was already like Him.
Already. Right.
God said, let us make man in our image, right?
Yep.
And in our likeness. So she was already like Him.
Right.
See? But He lied and said, He's holding out something, but when you eat this one, you're going to find out what it is. That's why He told you, don't mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
So and so in other words, He's saying to you that God really doesn't love you like that, because He told you don't mess with this, and this has got something you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the devil does.
Yep.
That's why He's called the father of lies.
Father of lies.
He's called the prince of darkness.
Yes.
Because He casts doubt in your mind, in my mind, about what God said. And so God, the Bible says, cannot lie. See, it's impossible for God to lie, the Bible
right.
says.
Right.
So everything He says is true.
That's right. Amen.
But the devil, the flesh, and the world are going to tell you there's something wrong with what God said.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn how to navigate through love, through this life with love distortion coming in. There are things that try to distort how much God loves you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How much He cares for you.
Yes.
And God is totally upfront. He already told us that He loves us. We're going to see that as we look at this lesson today. So let's take a look here. And that was a little introduction to try to connect these together. From the Old Covenant, last book of the Old Covenant, the book of Malachi, chapter number 1, the first 5 verses. Read with me. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said,
we are impoverished, but we will return and give the desolate place.
Mm-hmm.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down.
Mm-hmm.
They shall fall on them, the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel.
That is the old covenant to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. Now from the New Covenant, 1 John, that's Little John as we call it, the last chapter, chapter 5, verses 1. I have 16, but it's actually only 1 through 5. I think I did a typo there. 1 John 5 and 1 read, Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And may God bless the reading and hearing of his new covenant word. And let us pray. Father, we praise you, we bless you, we exalt your name, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, Lord, and we just thank you for your spirit. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially these who are assembled here today with us, Lord. We ask that you bless them, each one of them, with what they need, Father, to understand your love and to give them eyes to see the things that would distort that love, oh God, and make it seem different than what you have said in your word. Bless us all today as we sit under the word, Lord, to give us understanding of what we need in order to press on toward the mark. And we'll be careful to give all the praise and the glory and the admiration to you and your son Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. And the church see it together.
Amen.
Amen. So using the topic, navigating through love distortion. Distortion is when something is not clear or it's made to be blurred or put out of focus, or so to speak. In music, I said I might do a demonstration, but I think you understand already that the guitar can be played clean or it can be cranked up and sound like Black Sabbath or somebody. And that's called distortion. When you turn that on and you hear the big rough sound of a guitar, and you go, man, I thought that was supposed to sound crystal clear. Or Megadeth or some of these people who are out here, they use maximum distortion. And that distorts the sound of what would normally be clean and pure. And so the devil and the world and the flesh, the three enemies that you and I work with, have to, we don't have any choice, work constantly to distort the idea that God loves you. Okay? We sometimes self-doubt because we know ourselves better than anybody else. We'll take it up in our mind that because we know something we're doing is not right, well, God is not happy with me. And you'll start beating up yourself. That don't happen to nobody in here, though, I'm sure. That just happens to me every so often. The fact is, we do it. But what we need to realize, and the reason I wanted to put this to you, is not to say that it's okay that we do stuff like that. Not at all. Don't get that impression. The devil would like to take you there. Yes, well, since it's okay, do a lot of it. That will be the devil. Now, tell you, keep on doing that since it's okay and God's going to love you anyway. See, but the truth is, the love of God is not necessarily emotional.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what? God means what he said.
That's right.
It's not, and we attach emotion to it because we're emotional kind of creatures.
Yes.
So if we ain't, man, we said this before a few lessons back, so this is still kind of a succession from the lesson when I told you that you don't have to be feeling it to do what God told you.
That's right.
I have to teach you to ignore your feelings because your feelings will many times mislead you.
Yes, right.
And many times will mislead you. Yeah, many times your feelings will take you down a path that is not where God wants you to go. And so we have to learn and be trained to go against your emotions sometimes. Especially if you have a clear word from God.
That's right.
If God has told you something that is absolutely true, everything he has told you, let's make it this way. In the word, everything God has said to you is absolutely true.
Yes.
Amen.
So if you read in there where it says, for example, in this text, we have Israel here. I think I left my peepers up here. In this text here, and now this is after many years of Israel, says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
I have loved you, saith the Lord.
Yet ye say, now here's what goes on in our mind.
Uh-huh.
Wherein hast thou loved us? Wow, what?
Uh-huh.
Was not, did he say, let me give you some more evidence. Was not Esau Jacob's brother?
Uh-huh.
Saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob.
Uh-huh.
And I hated Esau.
Yeah.
And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Uh-huh. You know what people always say is, why did he hate Esau? And what you ought to be thinking is, why did he love Jacob?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Why did he hate them both?
That's right.
Yo, we don't go there, though. Our mind immediately goes to, oh, poor Esau.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when we read the story, you know what? Esau didn't love what God said.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup.
Right.
Yep.
Bowl of lentils. Just give me those lentils and you can have a birthright. Who cares?
Wow. Sure.
So it was his attitude toward what God said.
Right.
Jacob wanted to do what God said.
Mm-hmm.
He set his heart on it. He didn't do it perfectly.
That's right.
He got a lot of stumbling if you read up on Jacob.
Yes.
You know, it helps me sometimes to look at some of the people
yes.
in the Word.
Yes.
You know, I see people in there who are defective, who followed after their own heart, they conspired, they
yes.
connived, they did all kinds of stuff to try to get their way,
mm-hmm.
and God put up with them.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And he loved them, why? Because he said he would.
Thank you.
And you know what, if you look carefully, you'll see there's nobody in there who deserved for God to say,
nobody.
I love you. Not a soul.
None of
them. Not one soul. He could have said when Adam did that, okay, you know what, I don't like what you did. That's it. No more people.
Done.
Crush you out. Crush you back in that dust where I brought you out. But he didn't. And so in that very act, he also had two sons himself. We talked about them in Sunday school. And not Sunday school, Bible study just the other day in the book of Hebrews. Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel.
Abel said, I acknowledge what I know about God and I learned from my parents. Cain said, nah, forget that. Take what I got here, Lord. It's good enough. This should be good enough. Look at it. Isn't it nice? God rejected it, and then he hated his brother and killed him. Cain slew Abel. Y'all read about this, didn't you? But did God snuff out Cain? No.
Nope.
He let him go on. And it's his seed that went on to perpetuate the human family. See, not the seed of the one who believed God and did what he said. He got cut off.
Yep.
And the writer to the Hebrews was making note of that in chapter 11.
Right.
He said, the one who loved God, did right, was declared righteous, was cut off. His seed came to an end. And the evil one that hated his brother and took up a stone and bust him upside the head, killed him. And God says, where's your brother? He said, well, yeah, my brother's keeper.
My brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what he said.
Gave him a smart answer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, you make, he said, I hear his blood screaming up from the ground.
Yep.
And he said, well, if you didn't like what I said about your offering, why don't you just go out and get one now? God gave him another chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because he keeps giving people chances.
Oh, yes, he does.
And then it's the generation of the one who didn't believe God, who has kids and family. And so what do you think he taught them?
Mm-hmm.
And so you see that all going on through the Bible. Eventually, God sanctified Israel to be a people for his own possession. And y'all know that story. Now when we get to Malachi, we're at the near the end of that period. We're at the period where they've all been taken out into captivity. They have not believed God. They have not done what God said. God has sustained them, but he starts to chastise them with the Syrians and with the Babylonians. We read that in Habakkuk last week. Habakkuk was worried about, why are your people doing all this stuff and these evil people are coming in doing stuff and getting away with it and you ain't even doing nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Habakkuk had a complaint against God. Remember that?
Yes, he did.
Why you let all these people do all this stuff, God?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell us to be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, well, you know what? I'm going to do something you wouldn't even believe if I told you. I'm going to spank them with the very people they came out of and show them who is really God.
Right.
And all you have to do is sit and watch and you'll see. And it's one of the hardest things I have to do as a pastor is to counsel people who are angry with people because of something they did. And I tell them, you have to be careful because God said, vengeance is mine.
That's right.
I will repay. So if you believe him, leave him alone. Then he tells you, if your enemy is hungry, feed him.
Mm-hmm.
See? And if he needs a drink, give him to drink. You know, well, we won't do that, though, because we don't believe what God said. We think, well, you sucker, you, I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to go do it ourselves.
Yep.
God says vengeance is mine.
That's what he says.
That means you covet God's vengeance. And you ought to stay out of the God business. It's not a good business to be in if you don't know what you're doing.
That's right.
We covet God's vengeance. If he said vengeance is mine, that means what? I own vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you.
That's right.
To seek vengeance. And then he tells you to do just the opposite. Now let me tell you, will God tell you when your enemy is hungry, feed him? Are you going to be feeling it if you just done something to me?
No way.
You stole from me? You cheated with my spouse or whatever you did?
Ooh-wee.
Am I going to be able to feel good about you doing that? No. You lied to me. Am I going to be able to feel good about that? I don't think so.
Nope.
My human emotions are not going to think that this
no way.
Is a good thing.
No way.
No way. But what we have to do is discern. Are we going to do what God said?
Yes.
Or are we going to do what we want to do?
Yes.
Same thing. The dilemma has been the same. Never has changed.
Yes.
In the garden, God said, leave that tree alone. The rest of these are fine. Mm-hmm. Devil said, let's go to that tree. Okay, this tree here, look at this tree. Isn't it nice?
Mm-hmm.
He started to talk about it. Yeah, the tree was nice. You know what? This is another one I always tell people that they don't realize. There was no sin in the tree.
That's right.
The tree was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin tree and it's going to put sin in you. No, the tree was beautiful and it was a nice, we'll probably see the tree at some point.
Yes.
You know, we keep trusting God, we'll see it.
All right.
See? So there was nothing wrong with the tree. Nothing in the tree was bad. Everything God made, when he made it, he said it was what?
Good.
Good and very good.
Very good.
Nothing was wrong with the tree.
Nothing.
What was wrong is you didn't do what I said. I told you what to do and you had a liar tell you I didn't mean what I said.
Yes.
And he told you, oh, this is going to be good for you. It's going to open up your eyes so you're going to see stuff you ain't never seen before. That was true. You know what? The devil told a half-life. That was true. You're going to see all kind of stuff you didn't see before now. But why? Because you disobeyed God.
Yep.
Right.
Not because there was anything wrong with the tree.
Right.
That tree was just as holy as the tree of life.
Yes.
So what made the tree bad for you was that I told you, no, don't do it. Don't eat it. See what I mean?
Yep.
So that's how everything is, what God told us to do. If he said do it and we don't do it, it doesn't make any difference. You know, the fact of how the thing is itself, the thing that's different is that we don't do what God said. So that's the only thing that put a difference between Jacob and Esau. Jacob wanted to do what God said. Esau didn't care about it. It was no big deal to me. Bowl of soup, yes, I'll take that over birthright. Why? Because I'm hungry and I want to eat right now.
I don't want to die.
So he sold his birthright for a bowl of lentils. And so God says, now keep this in mind. This is just, by the time Malachi writes this, Jacob and Esau are long gone in the grave. They haven't been around for generations. Neither one of them is alive. So God is using the fact that there's people who listen to what I say, who desire what I say, want to do what I say. Then there's people who don't want to do what I say, reject what I say, and do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two kinds of people there are.
Yep.
Do the people who want to do it perfectly? No. But they want to.
Yes.
They have a desire in their heart to serve God.
Amen.
They want to walk by faith.
Yeah.
When they don't, they say, God, I failed. And they come and they repent. Folks who don't do what God said, like Adam and Eve, what'd they do? They didn't go to God. I got a problem. Boy, I didn't know I was naked.
Yep.
I got to go deal with my problem. Do it myself. See, we run to cover our own problems. See, but the fact is God never changes.
Never.
I love you just like I did when I made you. And the only thing I want you to do is hear what I have to say and believe it. If you believe it, Paul said, we believe, therefore we spoke. You see, so we speak based on what we believe, and we should act on what we believe. But God said that the generation of Esau is where this nation called Edom in verse 4 comes from. Whereas Edom said, We are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. Whatever you build, I'm going to tear it down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. See that? The people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified in the border of Israel. So there are people who trust God, and they heart is set on doing what God said. And they can see through the distortion of the world and the flesh and the devil. And as I said this morning, some of you weren't here, so I'm going to repeat it. The worst one to deal with is the flesh.
Yes.
John 6:63, the B part of the verse, Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life.
That's right.
And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So what God said is spirit and is life, his word, the Bible. See, it's spirit and it's life. And the flesh, what you think about it and how you want to deal with it, profits nothing. There's no profit in the flesh making decisions for what God has said. And you do not have to feel it. That's what I wanted you to know. So we need to obey God, do what he said, not because we're feeling it. You know what? If you start doing it, eventually you will feel it. You will get to the place where where you do feel it. And you do want to do it, and you'll know it's right. And then you will feel better about it. But it won't be the first thing you come to. So that means there's going to be some pressing for you to do what God said. There's going to be some training to my flesh. This has got to stop.
Yes.
It's going to take you some time. There's going to be some prayer and confession to God. God, I am not feeling it. It's not in my spirit to do this. But I'm going to do it because you said in your word. And your word is spirit and your word is life. So that's the kind of praying I'm going to have to do. If I'm going to get from point A to point B, you know what? This is the kind of teaching you do not hear in the majority of the church. And then people want to know, why do we have spiritual babies in the church?
Yeah!
Who can't take anything. Well, you stepped on my toe. I ain't talking to you. Well, come on now.
Ouch.
Well, you sat in my seat. Well, you parked in my space. Put it away. God said, come here to worship me. Serve me.
Yeah.
And you know what? My promise, I love you no matter what you're dealing with.
Yeah! That's right.
Take some flack. You know, I like to take a little flack for God now, a little bit more than I used to. I didn't understand it before.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know? But it's okay. Take some flack. Be misunderstood.
Yes.
If you know it's what God said.
Yeah.
And don't get an attitude. Lord, they didn't mention my name and I worked on the program. Yeah, you did. God saw you though. That's the thing you need to know. God saw you.
Yeah.
He saw you.
Yeah.
He knows what you did.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you what you got coming.
Yes, he is.
He's going to bless you with what
Ooh,
you need.
Yes, he will.
You know what? People are all defective. I'm defective. I might have saw you be here and thought I mentioned you and didn't. It slipped my mind. And that was a pastor don't care for
you.
No, that's not it. I'm a defective human being.
That's
right.
And I love you and I want you to grow in Christ.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
But you're going to have to make some decisions about how you do with what you're thinking and your thinking.
Yes.
Amen.
You're going to have to make some decisions. Okay,
Lord,
God said this.
Amen.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't feeling it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That's why Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, looking forth unto those that are before.
Yes.
I press toward the mark.
Yes. Press.
I ain't quite there yet, but I'm pressing. I'm trying to go. If I fall, I'm going to fall in the direction of what he said. I'm not going to slip back here anymore.
All right.
Had enough of that. I'm trying to
get this
one. Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, the writer of Hebrews said.
Yes.
Now, and think about this. I just want to bring this together. I'm off my stuff already, but I just got to say this. Think about this. If you are Jesus, just you know, we can't really go there. I understand that. But imagine, what would you do if you made the world? Just put yourself in these shoes just some kind of way. And so people come up to you and say, if you're the Christ, they blindfold you, slap you in the face. If you're the Christ, prophesy who hit you. How would that make you feel? Prophesy who hit you.
Did you know so much? I got a blindfold on you, and I can slap the day of daylight out of you, slap the taste out your mouth. Now tell me who hit you. Could you put up with that?
My.
He made the world. See, we all of us are thinking like the sons of thunder, call fire down.
Yes.
Like the just burn them up right there. Just burn them up right there where they stand. And Jesus took it.
Oh yes,
you think he was feeling that?
My Lord.
Don't put smoke.
I don't think so. I'm thinking that's why the Bible says they come to you, press a crown of thorns in your head, mock you. You say you're a king, well, here, let me crown you, you sucker, you. And they mean it from the bottom of their heart.
Yes, they do.
Pressing in your head and blood is coming out everywhere. And then they give you a reed. Here's your scepter, sir, and bow down to you. Then take the scepter and hit you with it.
Yeah.
Some others walked by just spit on you and kept going. You no good malefactor. Spit on you. Think about it.
You think he was feeling good about that?
I don't think so. But the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Despising the shame. You know what? He was going through real pain.
Oh, yes, he was.
And these people who say, where have you loved us? We don't know when you loved us. Why are you still here? All the stuff you people did. Why are any of you still here? And you worried about a chastisement that I'm giving you because you are in captivity. Why are you here? Why do you still exist? Only because God loves you. So through sincere meditation and prayer, let us think and pray even more deeply about coming into a far more explicit consciousness of one of God's most prominent characteristics, which is his great love for mankind, so that we too can walk with a more pure mindset as we deal with each other, and even more those outside the church who need it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that kind of people going to come from if it doesn't come from out of the church? If the church isn't telling you, turn off what you feel, quit judging people, don't look at them. They say, well, look at there, they're doing this, that, or the other. That's not my job. I'm not the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
He told me, go and teach.
That's
it. So if that person's out there, whatever they're stuck in, it's my duty to teach you about Christ.
Right.
How did I get in here? Somebody's had enough care about what Jesus said to come to me while I was twisted and messed up,
mm-hmm.
and told me about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed it, and I'm here now. I still ain't the best. I'm better than I was. But they didn't judge me. Didn't talk about me. He may have talked about me. I didn't hear it. I don't know what they did. But God loved me, and the distortion that was against his love was taken away so I could see that he loves me.
Yes. My Lord.
Somebody cared enough to tell me he loves you just like you are in the mess you're living in right now. And he can fix you and straighten you out.
Yes, he can.
And I'm going to love on you too until it gets right. And they probably might not have been feeling it. Who is this? You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with it. We have to disconnect from what I feel about it. If God said it and it's clear in his word, I want to disconnect from what I think about it, because it's not important. It's only important what he thinks about it. So we have to do this. I'm going to read this again. You have it on your sheet if you didn't get it. It's also online. Through sincere meditation and prayer, let us, as me and you, think about and pray even more deeply about coming into a far more explicit consciousness of one of God's most prominent characteristics, which is his great love. Think about the love of God. Think about it. You're going to have to pray on this one, church. Pray on it. That's how I want to be. I don't want to be judgmental. I'm not the judgment seat of Christ. I want to help people to see Christ. Help them know he loves you just like you are. Help them to know no matter what you're dealing with, he's for you. He loves you. He wants to make you better. He wants to fix some stuff in your life. He wants you to know, I'm here. I got you covered. There are no people God does not love. We pick and choose. Or we're very pick and choose kind of folks.
Yes.
Well, God isn't. He wasn't, I don't think I'd be here.
My Lord.
So one attribute, let's call this a communicable attribute, in other words, one I can tell you about, of the essence of God is love.
Therefore, when mankind fell from God's grace, as we were talking about earlier, Adam and Eve, and all of us, therefore, there immediately flowed into the vacuum of the sinful soul extreme distortion of what the actual beauty and power of love is. See, man immediately fell into that. Adam and Eve didn't say, oh, you know what, God loves us, we can go to him and he'll help us. You know what they did? They said, well, let's get out of here. They ran and tried to handle it themselves. Let's go get some leaves and cover ourselves. We're naked. They didn't think, well, you know, God, he's all right. He never done nothing wrong to me. Let me go to God. No. So it's in the human spirit to run the other way. So if you listen to your flesh, you know what's going to say? Get out of here. Get going. God don't care about you. Even though God had made the whole universe and gave it to Adam and said, this is yours. And you know what? I don't even want you to worry, fret, or go through any changes. You know what? The first thing I want you to do is, Adam, rest with me tomorrow. Made you today. Tomorrow we're going to chill together. Mm. That's the Sabbath, right? The 7 days. Because Adam wasn't there for the 6 days. God did the work.
Yes.
And when he made him, the last thing he did on the sixth day, tomorrow you chill with me. Mm-hmm. We're going to sit down and watch the Super Bowl of the galaxy. I don't know what they do. But they spent a day together with no work. Just me and you got to get to know each other. That's what's important. You need to know me. And then sometime after that, we don't know how long, next thing you know, they sinned. And even though you had a day of chilling with God the next day, which was your first day, God was done. He said, I'm through with everything. I'm just going to rest now and you rest with me. So that's why it says that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So don't let people trick you talking about, you ain't keeping the Sabbath. Lord, he's not going to be happy with you. The Sabbath was for man, and God made it for your rest and your peace.
Yes.
And it really means, you know what, that was the first thing Adam did, not the last, not the seventh. Yeah. His first day was spend a day with God.
Yep.
Right.
Enjoying my Father.
Yes.
Think about that. Hmm. That's the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't hear nobody talking about that, do you? Your first and most important thing is spend a day, chill with me. Because I made all this for you. I made you, and I said, this is yours.
Wow.
Tomorrow we're going to rest.
Wow.
Yeah.
You ain't done nothing, but we're going to rest. Just chill with me.
Right.
I love that. I really do. Think about it. God said, the most important thing, and it's still true, for me and you, the most important thing we need to do, chill with God.
Yes.
Rest with him.
Good.
Get on his page. He said, everybody out here is your mission field. I love all of them.
Yes.
Don't let the enemy, don't let your flesh, don't let the world distort my love. Your flesh wants you to pick and choose. I said, whosoever will, let him come.
That's it.
Come.
See? So we got to agree with God. Tell your flesh no. You can't do that. God doesn't want that. He loves the most heinous person you know and is doing the worst thing you can see. You need to love them like he does. You don't have to feel it.
Amen.
You don't. You really don't.
See, that's where people have trouble. They, well, my emotions are not leading me to do that.
That's right, because your emotions are falling, just like Adam's was, and made him go run and find some fig leaves.
Mm-hmm.
When he should have ran back to God who you just chilled with, that told you I love you and I gave you all this. See, so that's what I'm saying. We got to look out for where, whose we are is more important than who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Whose we are. Remember that. And it was a downward spiral getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And growing into more and more lovelessness, which quickly and progressively becomes more evil, which is the opposing force against the things of God. Evil is the opposing force against the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Jesus Christ restores for the ones who believe in him, which we call salvation. When you trust Christ, God gives you salvation, takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, translates
yes.
you to the kingdom of his beloved
Amen.
Son.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, Paul said. Right?
Yes.
So you're in a new category.
Yes.
You have a new nature. the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell in you.
Amen.
And his purpose is to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Yes.
Which is God's word, who cannot lie.
Yes.
So it doesn't have anything to do with my little emotions and how I feel about it. God has done this as a divine decree, and it applies to us all. So let's look at this real quick here. I'm going to go to 1 John 5. Notice it here. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. See, that's how you know. It's not by do I feel it in my heart. Am I all warm and fuzzy about it? No, it's if you trust Christ.
That's right.
The proclamation has been told to you. You believe that he came to die for you. You believe he shed his blood for you. You believe he settled your whole account.
Yes.
With God.
Yes.
Gave his life, got out the grave to show you even the problem of death. I've taken care of it for you.
My Lord.
What is worse in life than death? Is there anything worse? Took care of your worst problem first. Just like I did when I made the world. Did all that first. Then I put you in it. Now you in it. You messed it up. I said you would die if you eat. You did. So what I do, I come in and I take care of death. Swallowed it up in victory. If you believe in the Son, that's why the Son is essential to theology, because how can anybody else pay the bill of death that's not a human being?
Nobody.
Jesus paid that bill.
Oh, yes, he did.
He took the spitting, the laughing, the mocking, the horror, the criticism, the all that stuff, beating and flogging, mocking,
yeah.
All of the pits of the evilness of sin, he took it on himself. And he tasted death for everybody.
My Lord.
And he did it, and it was for the joy, it says in Hebrews 12, that was set before him, that he endured the cross, despising the shame. He hated the shame, but he didn't stop the cross, though, did he? So you can see you ain't got to be feeling it, is what that means.
That's right.
He endured the cross, despising the shame.
Right.
And it sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. So it was for the joy that was set before him. He wasn't saying, well, I'm really feeling this and this is wonderful. No. Mm-mm. No. God required a blood sacrifice.
That's right.
The wages for sin is death.
Death.
He took the sacrifice of his own blood and he took death upon himself.
Yes, he did.
And then he got up, shook off death, saying, I'm done.
Yeah.
I got it done. Whoever believes,
yeah,
from here on in, you don't have to be feeling it, people. I'm feeling it because it's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a spiritual thing. It's,
yeah,
not emotional.
Yeah.
I get mad myself when I read about what they did to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of people falling apart about far less today. So John says, whoever, and whatever is born of God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, overcomes the world. I said the world is one of those enemies.
That's right.
And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And faith is believing what God said.
Right.
You walk by faith and not by sight. I don't care how it looks. This ain't looking good over here. But by faith, I'm going to walk in it. Faith means I believe what God said. I don't care how it looks. See, that's the thing. I got to look beyond what my human eyes see and see what God said. Then I'm going to get somewhere. Where are you going to see what God said? Right here. He didn't make it hard. He put it in a book. And it's not going to change. This book is more, let's call it more secure than the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
You know why? Because God said the heavens and the earth shall pass away.
But
my word will never pass away.
Never.
So that's how serious this is. We need to get into his word.
Mm-hmm.
And we are. I'm not saying we're not. I'm encouraging you today. I hope this is getting to the right place.
Oh, yes it is.
But you don't have to feel it, church.
That's right.
Walk in it. If you don't, say, God, I'm not feeling it. He'll know already that you're not feeling it. You can't trick him anyway.
That's right.
I ain't feeling it, Lord. That's why he says we confess, you know, our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us. See, that cleansing, that means something is dirty and it's not right in me. So I'm going to confess it to God so he can wash it away by his spirit.
Yeah.
maybe my attitude will change too then.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't let the attitude run what God said to me. That's not acceptable.
Amen.
Because God ain't going to change. He never changes.
No. Never.
And there's no needing him to change. He's perfect the way he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
So what we need to do is I need to get this one to change.
Mm-hmm.
I got to adjust to what you said, and what you say is true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make no difference if I'm feeling it. I ain't got nothing to do with it. My feelings are twisted, too.
That's right.
So finally, as we have been called to be children of the Most High God, it must be our favorite endeavor to learn to navigate through the love distortions that keep coming in by the flesh, mainly by continual application of excess effort to be more like God our Father, and realize that it is love that will cover the multitude of sins. And Jesus said that the world would know that we are his disciples because we have love one to another. See, you know what? The way we treat each other is more of evangelism than us going out standing somewhere to preach.
That's so true.
Because he said the world's going to know you my disciples because they're going to watch how you care about each other. That preaches more than anything I could ever say, any sermon I could ever write.
That's right. Amen.
Because these people actually care for each other. And you know what? I love y'all.
We love you.
And I want to see you. I know God is using you. You know what? I know what we. I'm going to shut up. I'm over time, but I have to say this.
Say it.
We're here. We've been called here for some purpose. It's a kind of an unusual group of people to some degree. I'm talking about me, not you so much.
Yes, we are.
But it's a reason. There is a reason.
Yes.
And you have a part in it.
Right.
You're not here by accident.
Uh-huh.
God sent all of you one by one. He knew who needed to come, who needed to be here.
Yes.
And we have a purpose why we're here.
Yes,
we do. So, and I'm determined. I already said, because you know what? This message really is for me. Because I got a lot of stuff I got to deal with.
Me too.
So I'm saying, God, take away any temporal concerns. Take away any thing that would hinder your plan, because the world is getting real serious. And the thing is, they're doing exactly what God said. That's another reason you know the word is true. Why would Donald Trump do anything to make you know the Bible is true?
All right.
You think he's doing that intentionally to strengthen the church? No. He's completely unaware of what he's doing. Why are all the rulers in the world doing what they do and bringing everything together, and it's all hinging and right in on little Israel? Why? Why? Tell me why. One reason. They don't even know they're doing it, but they're doing exactly what God said they would do.
Yes.
And you and I know it because we read what he said and we believe it.
That's right.
So it's amazing to see it.
Yes, it is.
See, it's amazing to see that everything God wrote down, they're doing it one by one, one after another, and they don't even believe in him.
Yeah, right.
So God gave me a document where I can check.
Wow.
Everything they're doing is right here.
Yes.
That word.
Yes.
And he said that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. And I know it's true. So I got to stop being concerned about if I feel how am I feeling this. No, I'm not feeling it. I just love God, and I know he ain't lying. He's telling me the truth.
That's right.
Right.
And he wouldn't do that unless it was what I need. And same thing with you. He loves you just like you are. The devil keeps people out of the church, and then he runs people out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Using people in the church.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
Because people don't believe God.
Right.
I'm going to get upset. Jeremiah, you contradicted what I said at the Sunday school. But you was right because you was in the Bible and I wasn't. Well, okay. Well, I'm not gonna let that's not gonna run me out of the church.
No.
If we have a difference about something.
Yeah.
See? And so if you're here today, no matter who you are, God loves you exactly the way you are. That's the one thing I can proclaim.
Yes, yes, yes.
He has never changed. He has always loved you every second you've been in the world. He wants you to be his child.
Yeah.
He gave his son, Jesus, and allowed him to be crucified on the Roman cross and wrote it down, same thing. Everything they did to Jesus was already in the Bible. Did y'all know that? You know it. And they did it exactly like God said they would. Hung his son up on a tree. Spit on him. Talked about him like a dog. Crucified him. Condemned him. Told a governor, they twisted the politician's hand, if you don't crucify him, you are no friend of Caesar. And he cared more about what Caesar thought than he did about his soul. See, it had nothing to do with what you feel. And that's what I want you to see. And God predicted it perfectly accurately. And Jesus executed it perfectly accurately too. He could say, it is finished. Did it all, everything you see. And he did it for the joy. It was joyful because if you believe him, I'm going to save you. That's it. You can leave here today knowing you're saved. God has covered you. Because he did exactly all that. Took all that. It was for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And he let people spit on him, call him a bastard. They did some of everything. Hey, we know about your mother and that soldier coming up here talking about you the Messiah. Are you kidding me? Scandalized Mary and Joseph. You know. But he did all that. Took all kinds of humiliation. Was a scandal, the all-scouring of the world. And that's the worst thing. I said this, that was the very worst thing man ever did, was to find guilty God's son, nail him to a tree, but God had written it down already, knew what you would do. That's where sin will take you. That's what I said. When you fall away from God, it's a spiraling hole right down into the very darkest, deepest pit that there is. To a point that you would do that, crucify Jesus. And he knew that already, so that's why he came. It was no surprise to him what would happen. Although he physically took it in a normal, mortal human body, took all that pain, all that suffering, bled all that blood, which is humanly impossible. Anybody here who knows medical, you know you can't bleed that long, that much, all night, and then hang up on a tree for 3 hours, 6 hours the next day, and still be producing enough blood to just bleed that much. The bleeding was a miracle by itself. See, and he did that because he loves you just like you are. So don't reject him today. If you're here today and you are not saved and you want to be saved, tell God right now that I want to be saved. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for the cross. Thank you for your love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. So we thank you today, Father, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did. And we know that it was a miracle beyond understanding or expression that you could even do that you did and be laid in a borrowed grave for 3 days and nights and rise on the third day, just as you had said, and as it had been written in the scriptures, and declaring all power is given to you in heaven and earth. And Father, you said if we would confess with our mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So anyone hearing this message, believing it by faith, embracing that message, it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so Father, save them right now, whoever it is, whether they're hearing me in this room or hearing me online. Make them ready for that great and terrible day when your vengeance will be poured out like a rain, oh God, upon the whole earth. Make us where we know we're covered. We will be taken up to meet you when you come for your church. We bless you now. We give you praise. We pray that you energize whoever it is that believes you with the Holy Spirit right now. Open up their eyes so they can see great and marvelous things from your law. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise. Amen. And if you're here and you're not a member of a church, we want to invite you to be a member of the church. St. Timothy is one cell of the greater church. And we would like you to worship with us and help us to export the truth. That's what our intention is. And we know that God can break any situation in your life.
Oh, yes.
He can heal you. If he made you and knit you together in your mother's womb, he can fix something if it's broke down. If you really need that. And if you want to be a member, we call you to membership today. Amen. We'd love to have you as a part of our fellowship.
Yes.
Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there's room. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Want to welcome any visitors that are here today. We thank you for being with us. And we're happy you were able to make it. Amen. And so if all minds are clear, I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother G to close us out.